Hey everyone, Tanzina Vega here on The Takeaway. There's plenty of summer left, which means you still have time to crack open a book on the beach or in the comfort of your hopefully cool home. And we asked what you're reading to beat the heat.
My name is Capone Ascension, and I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota. And my book recommendations for this summer are Beloved by Toni Morrison, Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler, Parable of the Talents by Octavia Butler, and Kindred by Octavia Butler.
This is Patricia in Melbourne, and I am reading Becoming. It's the Michelle Obama book, and it is an amazing read. It's very honest, funny, and just an interesting story of her life from birth in Chicago right through to her husband's presidency. Just very interesting, regardless of your politics.
Hi, this is Diane in San Diego. I'm reading These Truths, A History of the United States by Jill Lepore. It's a deep and gripping read, and I'm recommending it to everybody I know.
Hi, this is Lydia from Harlem, and I'm reading The Power Broker by Robert Caro. It's the biography of Robert Moses, and it's great to read how Moses transformed the New York City infrastructure and then go for a drive or walk on the city that he shaped.
Lots of interesting picks there. Thanks so much for sharing them with us. And for those of you who are still deciding what to read this summer, our next guest has some suggestions that might help you narrow down your reading list. Parul Sehgal is a book critic for the New York Times. Thanks for being with us, Parul.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into your recommendations, what do you look for in a good summer read?
I mean, I think I look for what I look for in any book, which is be immersive, be intelligent, and monopolize me.
Just take me over.
Just be ruthless.
I'm with that. I'm totally with that. If you don't get it, do you have a limit on pages? Like, if you don't get me in the first 10, 15, 20?
Oh, I'm the worst. If you can't get me in the first 5, 6 pages, I mean, I have to read contractually. I'm bound to some of these books.
I'm sorry.
So am I sometimes. But generally, yeah, win me over right away.
I'm with that. Yeah. That totally works. So let's get into your picks. We have the first book, which is Mostly Dead Things by Kristen Arnett. And it's a comic novel. And this is the story of a queer taxidermist set in Florida.
Yeah,
What's
not to love?
I mean, already.
Aren't you in?
Intrigued. Very intrigued.
So some of my other recommendations are a little bit serious and sober, but this book is... in my review, I called it a cabinet of wonders, and it really is. It's a comic novel. It's a little bit sad. It's a little bit sexy. It's a little strange, and it feels like an American original. So as you said, it's about this queer woman who's very inconveniently in love with her brother's wife, and her father's just committed suicide, and she's just like all the best heroes or heroines, lovelorn, a little unlucky. And the book, like in great comic novel fashion, is just sort of one set piece after another, but then kind of opens up to really ask some more interesting, deeper questions about memory and about forgetting. And it's fantastically set in Central Florida, which has a great tradition of cultural amnesia, as the author writes. You know, it's everything's being made into a strip mall. There's been the erasure of the Seminole Indians. And so it is something that's funny and effortless and light, but also really does dilate to ask some interesting nagging questions.
Your second pick is Wayward Lives, Beautiful Experiments by Saida Hartman. It's a cultural history book, and Hartman's a historian, but she's been centering the stories of some figures who have typically been marginalized in U.S. history. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is history as I've never read it. What Hartman does is she focuses on a revolution in private life, in intimate life at the cusp of the 20th century. So first of all, how do you write a history like this? How do you write a history of how people are actually... ordinary people are rethinking marriage, motherhood, sexuality. And she says that the people who really, sort of spearheaded this change were young black women, 2 or 3 generations out of slavery, come up to the cities of the North in the Great Migration and toss out the old scripts. And so she writes this history, finding these women, some of them in the ledgers of the institutions that were designed to discipline and punish them. So some of them are obviously mental institutions, prisons, but then also anonymous photographs and stories. So as you're reading this book, you're both getting a picture of ordinary women, but also suddenly you'll be like, wait a second, is this Billie Holiday? Mm. Is this Ida B. Wells? So she has a way of marrying the history's official history and ordinary life in a way that feels, for me, absolutely breathtakingly original. And then she does this other thing, which she says, okay, there are these gaps in these lives, so how do I conjure them? She uses fiction. She imagines things. Now, this is something that's going to be interesting. Some people are going to like it. Some people are going to think this is too unorthodox. So it's another book that sort of generates lots of productive questions.
I can already feel my brain buzzing here.
Oh, it's so lushly illustrated. It's just beautiful.
No Visible Bruises is your third pick, and that is by Rachel Louise Snyder. It's a current affairs book. And this book is about domestic violence, which, as you said, you've got some heavy topics here. Yeah. What stood out to you about this particular work?
Well, this book is, I mean, I'm comparing it to Silent Spring. It's a page-turner. It's a book about something that is, you know, the United Nations, I think last year, said that the home is the most dangerous place for a woman worldwide. And who has called domestic violence a global health problem of epidemic proportions. So you're saying, do I really need to read a book that's going to convince me of this? But you must read this book, because what this book does is it sort of chips away at things that we think we know about this problem. Why women don't leave, why men become abusers, why these men can't change. And slowly what Snyder does, she's an investigative journalist, is she corrects the score. She finds the news stories by following a bunch of different women, following different agencies. And then, like Rachel Carson did in A Silent Spring, this is not a book that's interested in despair. This is a book that's interested in action. It's interested in change. And she does this, one, by writing a book that's a literary achievement. And then secondly, by saying that there are things that are working all over the world. There are things that we should all be doing. So it's not a book that permits despair, which I find extremely galvanizing.
Particularly with that topic.
With this topic.
Mm. Now, your fourth pick is Lost Children Archive by Valeria Luiselli. And this is fiction, and it's about child migrants at the border, which is something that's very real that we've talked about a lot on this show. How well does it capture the reality of the situation?
Very well. Luiselli served for a while as an interpreter for refugee children who are applying for the green card. So she knows this topic intimately. She's written one nonfiction book about it, which came out, I think, in 2016. And now she's fictionalized it. And she's fictionalized it in a way that I see more and more Western writers trying to sort of get their heads around the refugee crisis. But she is perhaps the most original young writer of her generation. And so, of course, she does something that is absolutely unclassifiable. So she wants to write about the crisis at the border, and she wants to write about the refugee children, but it's not in a way that she wants to necessarily embody their lives. It's the story of a marriage. It's the story of a woman, an archivist, wants to go, much like Luiselli did, and understand this issue. So it's a classic American road novel, but on top of it is layered the stories that are happening. And because she does both, you get a real sense of how these stories that are happening on the border, these stories of these children, are not separate from our intimate lives. They're not separate from American history. And so she braids them together in a way that feels really fiercely original and intelligent.
We've got 1 minute left, or less than a minute left. I want to get in your fifth book, which is The Old Drift by Namwarly Sirpel, a historical novel. Tell us about this.
Okay, this is for anybody who wants that big immersive novel to suck up your summer. It's about almost 600 pages, shades of Gabriel Garcia Marquez and Salman Rushdie. It's a multi-generational epic, a matrilineal epic, and it tells the story of what's now known as Zambia from colonialism to years ahead in the future. And it's funny and, you know, just lavishly, lavishly intelligent. So.
Parul Sehgal is a book critic at the New York Times. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.